We're starting today a new series just called Serve, and we're going to talk about what it means to serve God today. We're going to start with that one simple idea of how are we going to serve God. And so as we're starting to do that, I want us to do this. It's 4th of July weekend, and we're going to all eat a lot of hamburgers and see a lot of fireworks, all right? And so that's all great. And our country is, whether you celebrate 4th of July and Independence Day or not, makes no difference to me. The point is this, though. It's important for us to pray for our country, our leaders. If you voted for them or didn't vote for them, please pray for them. All right? We want them to succeed in God's plan, whether we voted for them or not. It gets completely non-political at this point. We got people that need to be blessed, need to be taken care of, and our job is to serve. We're going to pray for our leaders as a part of that. So I just love to ask you to do that this week. Sometime, just take some time. If you voted for the president or you didn't, let's pray for him, all right? Either way. If you voted for your senator or didn't, let's pray for him. Let's pray for all those folks that are serving us, and let's make sure that we lift them up to the Lord because we want God on their side. Amen? Amen? All right. Now, here we go. We're going to jump right into this. The idea of serving starts with one big idea, and it's a simple idea, but it's a difficult thing to do. It starts with the idea of authority. We have to know who we serve. We have to decide who our lives are going to serve. When we have a decision to make, what is the very first question we ask ourselves? What is it? What do I want, or is it what does God want? We've got to work through this every single time until we make the decision that God is in charge of our lives, that we're going to do our best to do this God's way so that we don't have to keep re-answering this idea and this question of authority. And I want to read you this passage of Scripture. It's not going to be on the screen. I just want to read it to you. And then we're going to talk about it a little bit. Matthew chapter 10, this is verse 17 through 22. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him. All right, so that's important. So this guy thought that what he needed to say to Jesus was so important. I got to run up there while I see him and there's an opportunity and a chance for me to talk to him. I'm going to run up there. Now watch the next thing he does. He knelt down. He comes to Jesus very quickly because this is important, but he kneels down in reverence, in honor to Jesus. And then the Bible says this. He asked this question. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's a big one. He's kneeling down. He's a little bit out of breath. And he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus responds. He says, why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, you must not cheat on anyone, and honor your father and your mother. All right, that's the six commandments that Jesus, or the commandments that that the Old Testament tells us, teaches us how to interact with other people. And verse 20 says, teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commands since I was young. He said, I've been doing good stuff for a long time. I've been doing the right stuff for a long time. And then in verse 21, now this is very important. Verse 21, Jesus, looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Now, you got to get the picture. He's run up to Jesus, a little out of breath. He says, hey, what do I have to do? As he's kneeling in front of Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, obey all the commandments. And he says, I've done all that. Really, Jesus is setting him up for the punch, all right? He's getting ready because he knows he's got to kind of bring him along on this journey. He can't just punch him in the mouth to start with. He's got to bring him along. And the Bible says Jesus felt genuine love for him. And then Jesus says something that's really, really hard. He looks at him with genuine love, and then he says, there is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. The Bible calls him the rich man. He comes to Jesus and he says, I've done all that stuff. I've honored my father and mother. I hadn't been cheating, hadn't been lying, hadn't been stealing. And I'm doing good on all that. And Jesus said, yeah, but there's one thing. So Jesus gets to his heart. He can see what the guy has been doing. The guy can even see what he's been doing in his personal life. And he knows what he's been doing. But Jesus is getting at the point that I want more than just your deeds. I want your heart. And he was really telling this guy, you are so in love with your money that you're never going to be able to follow me. You're never going to be able to give me your whole heart. But Jesus says this to him with genuine love. Sometimes God has to say things to us that are painful because he loves us. He says those things to us because he cares for us. When you're raising your kids, you go through this all the time. You want to say, yes, just do whatever you want to and go make yourself happy. And it's okay. But in love, you go, you can't do that. That's not what's best for your future. You can't go out and do those things. So I'm going to have to, in genuine love, look at you and say no. So the man had a decision to make. Out of breath, kneeling before Jesus. What do I do to inherit eternal life? Do all this stuff. But then he said, now you got to get rid of all the stuff in your heart that's coming between me and you. I want you to give all your riches to the poor, and I want you to come, and I want you to follow me. And the Bible said the man's face fell. Whew, man. He's really in his heart, I think he was thinking, this is the one thing I can't do. Life is too good for me to walk away from this. I can't just give that up. So he was in this place of decision, this valley of decision, where he had to decide who has authority over my life. Is it me or is it Jesus? We all have to settle this issue of authority at some point in our lives. We all are settling this issue every day according to how we're living our lives. You see, we all want what we want when we want it. That's why we get mad in lines that take 2 minutes too long. Because we want what we want when we want it. And we say stuff like, we know what's going on back there. If they need to hire some more people. We say stuff like, we have run a Walmart before. We say stuff like, we have operated, we've been the manager of a Popeye's chicken before. Because they just need to listen to me. We want what we want when we want it. And it causes us to have to make decisions. We got to choose some things. There's a great story about Governor Herter of Massachusetts. He was trying to win a second term as governor of Massachusetts. And one day he'd been busy campaigning all day, chasing votes. He didn't have any lunch, and his next appointment was a church barbecue. True story. He goes to the church barbecue. And he gets his plate and he starts heading down the line, and he holds out his plate for the lady that's giving out the chicken. True story. Holds out his plate and she puts one piece of chicken on Governor Herter's plate. And he was thinking, I hadn't had anything to eat all day. I'm hungry. I'm going to need more than one piece of chicken. And the governor said, excuse me, do you mind if I have another piece of chicken? And the lady said, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to only give one piece of chicken to each person. The governor said, but I'm starving. The lady said, sorry. And she said, just one per person. And the governor, as the story goes, was a modest, you know, unassuming man in everyday life. But he decided he needed two pieces of chicken. And so he decided he's going to throw his weight around a little bit. And he said, do you know who I am? The lady said, no, I don't know who you are. And he said, I'm the governor of the great state of Massachusetts. And she said, do you know who I am? And he said, no. She said, I'm the lady in charge of the chicken, and you're only getting one piece. You're getting one piece. I love this lady. I mean, I don't care who you are. This is my job, and I'm doing it. Now watch this. in the whole scheme of things, she was the higher authority. He had a, what everybody would say was a higher position, but she knew what authority was all about. He walked down the line with one piece of chicken on his plate after that. There's authority. There's authority. Now watch this. When God says, no, 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 you only get one piece of chicken, and we do this, he's not looking. We grab another one and move on down the line. We're saying, I can't really submit to your authority. And we start to lose character. You name the list. We start to lose things in our life when we don't answer the question of who's in charge of my life. There were a lot of biblical people that had this quandary. They went through this difficulty. The Israelites, God promised them the promised land, and some of them just disobeyed God. I mean, they're walking in the promises of God every single day, and in the middle of that, they think, I'm smarter than God. I got this figured out. They disobey God, and they don't get the promised land. They die in the wilderness. Why? Because they answered the question wrong. They didn't answer it correctly of who has authority in my life. Adam and Eve. God said, here you live in a paradise. You don't even have to work. Just live here. I just want you to fellowship with me. That's the one thing I'm asking. And here's the one thing I'm telling you not to do is don't eat fruit off that tree. And what happened? And they messed it up. So Eve is talking to it. You know, we've talked about this before. Eve starts talking to a snake, and the snake starts talking back. And anytime a snake starts talking, you should go the other way. And she messes up. She eats some fruit. Adam shows up. He eats some fruit. God says, what have y'all done? And Adam says, she gave it to me. It's her fault. This is all on her, which is kind of typical. But anyway, it was this weird thing of they lost paradise because they forgot who was in charge, and they answered the question the wrong way. For a minute, they said, I'm just going to sneak another piece of chicken. I'm just going to be in charge for a minute. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be in authority. Well, the ultimate in Bible times was Jonah. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to those people. And Jonah said, I don't want to go to see those people. I'm not going to see those people. He gets on a boat going in the other direction. A storm blows in. The storm was sent by God. And all the people on the boat are like, what's going on? Somebody in here is the problem. And Jonah finally goes, I'm running from God. And they say, we're throwing you over. Throw him over the boat. And God's already got it prepared. The Bible calls it a big fish. Swallows him. And he's rolling around in the belly of a big fish for 3 days until finally the fish gets indigestion and spits him up on the beach. He decides, I better answer this question correctly. Who is the ultimate authority in my life? God, what was that you were telling me to do? And he goes into, he's still not happy about it. He's still got kind of a bad attitude. But we all have to answer those questions. Sometimes we wonder why things are happening in our lives the wrong way, things we don't want to happen, and it's because we haven't answered the question correctly. As a human, I focus on what I'm getting. It's all about me. I focus on me. I focus on what I want. I focus on my rights. Focus on my rights. There's been a million pages written on this topic. What if we chose to focus on our responsibilities instead of our rights? As believers in Christ, now I'm not saying that we should leave people out and let people be mistreated. None of that. None of that, okay? That's not what this is about. But in my spiritual life, if I choose responsibility over rights, then I walk in the blessings of God and I end up with more than when I focused on my rights. God will bless that process of focusing on responsibility. John 3:30 says this, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Boy, if we don't get anything else, get this one today. He must become greater and greater. In other words, my life's got to point to him in a greater and greater way. And my life becomes less and less. I answer the question of authority correctly. Matthew 20:16 says this, so those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. So if you get to the front of the line here on earth, you're going to be in the back of the line when you get to heaven. He He said, look, you've got to make sure that you are serving, that you answer the question the right way. Matthew 16, 24 really sums it all up. Let's look at that one. He says this, then Jesus said to his disciples. Now he's talking to his disciples. These are people who knew him. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. He's showing us what it means to answer this question correctly. To say, I want to follow God and I want to serve God with my whole heart. Once I settle the issue of authority, life just becomes a little bit easier. It just becomes simpler. Let me say it that way. It becomes simpler. If I decide God is in ultimate control of my life, that no matter what my decision is, my first question is, God, what do you want? What does God expect from me? What does God want from me? What direction does God want me to go? When I say, God, you're in charge of my life, I know who to listen to in everyday life. I don't have to figure it out every day. I don't have to figure out a new voice and a new direction. I know which way to go. I know where my boundary lines are. I have a direction for my life. I find peace in servanthood instead of trying to constantly satisfy me if I answer this question of authority correctly. Have I enthroned Christ as Lord of my life? Have I decided that I'll serve God no matter what it costs? Have I decided to surrender my marriage to God no matter? Have I decided to surrender my children to God? No matter. Have I decided to surrender my work and my money to God? No matter what. Have I settled the issue of authority in my life? But we Americans, we kind of have a hard time with authority. We push back at everything, which is probably okay. We probably should be in our current culture. But we don't trust authority sometimes because we've seen power abused. We don't trust authority because people in positions of power sometimes are just incompetent. They just are not good at their job. We don't trust authority sometimes because people in positions of power are selfish and they're trying to use others to get what they want. Sometimes we just don't believe in their vision, and it's hard to submit to authority. So then here's the question. I might not be able to trust all of the authority on earth, okay? But why can I trust God? Why can I trust God when I answer this question of authority? Here's the answer. Because he doesn't need us to get what he wants. I can trust him because he doesn't need me. Matter of fact, I think I'm probably a pain in his rump sometimes. He doesn't need me to get what he wants. He doesn't need me to move forward. All he wants is what is best for me. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God doesn't need me. He would never take advantage of me. He created me so I can trust him. So if I give God full authority in my life, I know he has my best interest at heart because he doesn't need me. He just loves me. Galatians 2 and 20 says this, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's saying I'm going to die to me, and I want to be alive to Christ. Whatever God has for me, I want to follow him and I want to serve him. So the question is, have you answered the issue of authority? Have you decided who's in charge? Have you decided who's in charge? We often want to do it our way, thinking we'll come back around later and we'll get back in line with God. There's always consequences to that stuff. And most of the time it's unintentional consequences. We didn't mean for bad stuff to happen. It just happens. And God is saying to us, you just follow me. Take up your cross, deny yourself, follow me. God said, I want your heart. I want your heart. Here's what he knows. If he gets our heart, he gets our whole lives. I could write big checks if I had a lot of money. I could go do great stuff. I could honor father and mother. I could not steal and not cheat and not lie. And that would all be great. And people from the outside would look at me and go, oh, he's a great guy. And God would say, I'm looking a little bit deeper. I'm looking a little bit deeper. I want to know what your heart looks like. I want to know who's in charge of your heart. I want to know who's in charge of your decision making. I want to know who's in charge of your next step. And when we surrender that stuff to God, he blesses it. He takes us to the next level. I want you to take your communion elements out. If you don't have them, let's raise your hand and somebody will get that to you very quickly. Here's the ultimate picture of a decision to give authority to God. And we're going to remember what Jesus did with his disciples. He says, this is my body that was broken. This is my blood that was shed. He said, every time you eat these, I want you to remember what I've done. That same night, Jesus prayed this prayer. The Bible says he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was all alone. He was praying. And one version of scripture says his sweat was like great drops of blood. I mean, his body is so stressed at what is coming, not because he's afraid of crucifixion, but because he is accepting on himself the burden of sin for the entire human race for all of history. He's accepting that burden on himself. And in this process of him being in the garden and he's praying, he's already said to some other fellas, I want you to pray, and I'm going to go a little further and I'm going to pray. And he's in anguish as he's accepting this burden. And he says these words, if you could take this cup from me, he's talking to the Father, that'd be good. But if not, not my will, but your will be done. That's what he says. Here he is in a human body. He's God in a human body. He's accepted the role of sacrificing his own life for us. And here he is still struggling with this. I don't want to do this, but it's the right thing to do. I don't want to do this. Father, not my will, but yours be done. He was going to do it all along. There's this struggle. There's this struggle. And there's that same struggle, not nearly as intense, but the same struggle in your life and my life where we're deciding who's in charge. Am I going to follow the path God has for me, or am I going to do it my way? Am I going to honor God the way God is leading me, or am I just going to sneak around and get some more chicken? I'm going to do it my way and hope that God blesses it. 1 Corinthians 11 gives us a beautiful story of the night before Jesus would die on the cross. And he is with his disciples, and he's going to give them this picture of what the crucifixion was going to be, so that every time they sat down to eat after this, they would remember this conversation. They would remember what Jesus had done for them. But this was so sacred and so important that he said these words. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Here's what he said. You need to examine yourself. You need to decide who's in charge. And if there's areas of your life that you've been in charge of and you need to repent of, then now's the time. Examine and answer the question, who's in authority? Who's in charge? Repent of the stuff where you've tried to be in charge and you've taken the wrong path. Surrender it to God and accept what I have for you. That's what Jesus was saying. I don't know your personal life. You don't know what's going on in my heart. I don't know what's going on in your heart, but we know this. Scripture tells us all to examine. So we're going to take just a minute right here. We're going to examine. Are there things right now that I need to say, God, I want you to just forgive me of that. I was on the wrong path doing the wrong stuff. It could have been this morning, yesterday, 2 weeks ago. Doesn't matter. God wants us to be on the right path with him. So we're going to pray. And it's our opportunity to say, Lord, I confess. I need you to clean that up, forgive me, and help me to move forward. Father, I thank you right now for what all you're doing. I thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, you've been so good to us. You've been so good to us. And Lord, we want to confess any sin that is lingering out there in our lives, any moments that we've taken our liberty with who's in charge, done it our way. God, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to cleanse us. Lord, your word tells us if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we're asking for today as we confess these things. We just give it to you, Lord. We're going to trust you. We just ask you to have your way. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take your bread, open your bread and hold it in your hand for a second. Jesus said this to his disciples, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." This is Paul telling about Jesus. "On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body as we receive it. Amen. Let's receive the bread together. Amen. Amen. Open the other side of your cup. The Bible says, "In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. This do in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Let's receive the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, this morning we want to surrender. We want to surrender control. Just want to surrender control, Lord. We want you to do your work in our lives, and we just lift up to you, God, all the things that we think we're in charge of. We surrender it, and we thank you for your grace right now. God, we praise you. Lord, we honor you right now. We honor you right now, Lord. Let's sing this together, everybody. We thank you for what you're doing right now. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Us all decide and make our minds up who's in authority, who's in charge of our lives, so that our lives are simplified. At that point, we're not changing lanes every day. We're not trying to figure out a new path every day, but we're just saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want your word to be my guide. And I believe God's going to help us with that. Amen. All right, here we go. Father, we our desire, Lord, is to surrender to you. We need you, and we want your help, and we put our trust in you, Lord, so that moving forward every day, that decision of who's in charge, Lord, would be very simple. That we would wake up and we would go to bed every day knowing who's in charge, and it will always be you. We pray for your help and your will and your blessing in all this, and we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 If today is your first day here at Grace Point with us, we'd love to meet you straight across the hall in the meeting room. We got a little gift for you, and we'd just like to say hello. Go by the Servolution table, see where you want to be involved, get signed up. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.